much, Kate. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Kate McNamara at the CBC Business Desk. And for more on business, tune into the early edition tomorrow morning. Phil DeMont checks in with Stephen Quinn three times each morning at 25 past the hour. It's 19 minutes before 4 o'clock now. Have you heard the news? The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge officially announced details for their Canadian royal tour today. William and Kate are set to visit BC and the Yukon from September 24th to October 1st. Here in BC, they're going to stop in Vancouver, Victoria, Bella Bella, Haida Gwaii, and Kelowna. So to give us some insight into their visit and just why it's generating so much excitement, we have reached Vancouver's Amanda Disha. She is the co-creator of the blog What Would Kate Do? All about the life and style of the former Kate Middleton, now wife to the future King of England. Hello there, Amanda.
Hi, Gloria. How are you?
I'm very well. I'd like to know what was going through your mind when you found out that your heroine, Kate, will be coming here to Vancouver.
Yeah, it was a big day, big excitement. We've been expecting a Canadian tour for a while. It's been rumored for quite a few months. But to get the actual itinerary and see all the places that the Duke and Duchess are going to be visiting throughout the province was quite exciting.
So what do you think about the itinerary?
I think it's great. We were expecting that there might be a little bit of a wider geography. As you remember, or may not remember, in 2011, William and Kate did also come to Canada, but didn't get this far over to the West Coast. So this itinerary is quite exciting because it is really just focusing on British Columbia and, of course, the Yukon. So really focusing on the West Coast. Some of the press reports that have come out from the Kensington Palace, from the office of the Duke and Duchess, have actually said that they're really excited about the outdoors and all of the spectacular scenery that the West Coast has to offer. So they're going to see, like you mentioned before, Vancouver. They're going to go into the interior to see Kelowna. They're going to go out to the island. I think it's going to be a great tour.
Well, not only William and Kate, but they're going to have Prince George and Princess Charlotte in tow as well. How significant is it that they'll be traveling with their children?
Yeah, well, we haven't had that formally confirmed yet. We're still pending the final confirmation, but all indications are showing that we should see the little prince and princess as well. The biggest thing that we kind of see as an indication are that they seem to be setting up a home base, for lack of a better word, out of Victoria. And that seems to indicate that we may see the kids, just because they'll be able then to leave the children there and not have to go through some of the gruesome travel that they're going to have to go to. For example, one day they're going to have to go from Victoria to Kelowna to Whitehorse. So long travel days are not so much fun with small children. So really exciting that they're going to be here. Of course, we'll see two future kings if George and Charlotte do make the trip.
Oh, they're just little photo ops, though, aren't they? They're just so adorable. So, okay, our fingers are crossed on that front. I want to hear about your story, though. I mean, when did you start this blog and why? I mean, what do you find so inspiring about Kate?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we started What Would Kate Do? It seems like forever ago, but really back in 2012. We were just, you know, normal girls. We had blogs in the past, Christine and I, just, you know, what we had for dinner, what we were wearing that day, and kind of never really went anywhere. And then we kind of got to know Kate. She kind of came out in the media right before the royal wedding. And I mean, I've personally always been interested in the royal family. So, you know, there's always been an interest there. But Kate was really kind of a normal girl who was thrust into extraordinary circumstances. And I think that's kind of part of the reason why she's so popular. I mean, she's obviously very stylish, but she's also very smart. She went to St. Andrews. She's got a history of art degree. She's down to earth, or as much as you can be for the future Queen of England. She makes dinner for her family. She, you know, chooses to live in the countryside versus the palace. And of course, you can't overlook her style. She's classic yet modern. She also wears, you know, clothes that are accessible to everybody. She's really good with her charities, does all kinds of work for different patronages like mental health, children's charities, things like that. So she's kind of a full package rather than just someone who's pretty to look at. And that's kind of why I think a lot of people and a lot of our readers especially have grown to kind of love her and to be really interested in her.
Ordinary girl thrust into extraordinary circumstances. Does she remind you of anyone? How do you think, we can see the similarities, but how is she different from Princess Diana?
Well, that's a great question. She's very much different in the terms of what she's had and the experience and the knowledge that she had going into being a member of the royal family. So Diana was very young when she married in. She didn't have a whole lot of time to adapt to the kind of lifestyle, the constant attention, the constant scrutiny of the royal family. Kate and William had been together for quite a while. They met in university at St. Andrews. So they did have quite a lot of time to kind of explore that relationship, kind of out of the media scrutiny. But then also, Kate, you know, as I said, she's well-educated. She's got that university degree. She's figured out what she wants. And William and Kate actually did split up a few times, just, you know, giving her some time, because it is quite a large commitment to commit your life to living under that kind of scrutiny. So I think that's kind of the big difference, is that Kate's been much more prepared. And we've heard reports that William is very protective of her, based, of course, on a lot on some of the experiences that happened to his mother.
Yes, good point. Now, in writing this blog, you co-write it, in fact, with a friend in Washington, D.C. That's Christine O'Brien. So how is it different for a Canadian and an American writing about the royal family?
You know, it's very different. So she's often very jealous of the fact that, you know, I'm Canadian and I can say that Kate will be my future queen, or William will be the future king. But I think that a lot of the interest that happens in the U.S. and in Canada, to a small portion as well, is that Kate offers a different kind of role model for girls. So she's, like I said, does the charitable causes, she's down to earth, and she wears clothes that cover things up. So if you think of her as kind of the antithesis to a Kardashian, she offers a different kind of role model to girls. And I think that a lot of girls are looking for different kinds of role models. And I think that's why she has such a great appeal in the U.S. specifically. So it's very different for us writing, although together we make a great team. And we actually have a larger team of contributors that are all over the world. So we have writers in the U.K. We have writers in Australia as well. So we often get a really good global sense and the global picture of everything and how it works.
Is it true that when you were young, while everybody else has got rock stars, posters of rock stars on their wall, you had a photo of Prince William on your wall?
I'll say no comment. My husband might be listening.
That's before Kate came along.
You're right. Very much before Kate. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about the upcoming royal visit on your blog. Amanda, great to talk with you.
Thank you. Yeah, great to speak with you as well, Gloria.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That's Amanda Disha. She is the co-creator and writer of the blog, What Would Kate Do? The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge will visit BC and the Yukon in late September. It's 4:11 now, and Lisa's back with us. Did you have posters on your wall?
No comment. I'll take Amanda's approach there. There are certain people you can discuss your interest or lack of the monarchy, and then, you know, you've got to, you have to, like, weigh it out.
Oh, my friend, when I was young, I think we were probably in grade, I don't know, five or six, and her parents let her take all those Teen Beat magazines, and she had Donny Osmond and sort of that era. It wasn't the Monkees necessarily, but Donny Osmond was everywhere at that stage.
My mom let me decorate my room in my Kiss fascination at the time, even if she found it incredibly frightening. That's what my room looked like when I was around 11.
And metal is still a big part of your life.
You see, I never grew up, actually. It's kind of sad. Or else not. I don't know.
How's traffic moving?
Well, they cleared up that collision in Vancouver at the intersection of, at the Knight and 57th. It was northbound involving a pedestrian. We also have a new collision, though, in Vancouver. It's an intersection of Kingsway and Rupert, and pretty busy on some major routes. Northbound to the Knight Street Bridge, slow from Cambie. Massey Tunnel traffic southbound slowing from right around Highway 91, and we have delays from about Cap Road now to the Iron Workers Memorial Bridge, and I'll have more traffic in about 10 minutes.
Lisa, thank you very much. Well, a top U.S. public health official warned this weekend that the mosquito-borne Zika virus could spread to southern U.S. states like Louisiana and Texas. This comes after officials have confirmed 5 locally transmitted cases of Zika in a new area of Florida, Miami Beach. For more on what contributes to Zika spread and what we know about the risks in the U.S., we are joined by Jason Tetreault. He is a microbiologist and author of The Germ Files. Hello there, Jason.
Hello there.
So tell us more about this situation in Florida. What's notable about it?
Well, what's notable is that it's Miami Beach. I mean, it's very popular. Everybody knows about it. It's very populous. And unlike the previous location, Wynwood, there seems to be more potential for people to, you know, come and go. So in that respect, it can be a problem. However, just like in Wynwood, there's one thing that you should really take note, and that is they haven't yet found a mosquito that carries the virus yet. So what's happening most likely is that people who have been infected are coming.